Hi, and thank you for joining me today for this edition of Senior Talk. Today, we are discussing veterans benefits, specifically community adult day health care and community adult day care. For more information on these programs and other programs for veterans, log on to va.gov/geriatrics, va.gov/geriatrics. It's a very comprehensive webpage, and I think you'll get a lot of benefit from looking at it. My guest today is Paulette Ferland. She's a nurse, and she wears a lot of other hats at the Veterans Administration, including being the Interim Veteran-Directed Care Program Coordinator and the Interim Community Adult Day Health Care Program Coordinator. She is also the Veteran-Directed Care Coordinator. She's a very busy lady, and I am so happy that she is joining us to discuss the programs for veterans. Welcome, Paulette. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you.
So tell me about the community adult day health care and the community adult daycare. How are they different and who are they for? Or are they different?
They are different. The adult day health care really focuses on the veterans care itself, or like PT, OT, and some resources for that. And they're actually through like a nursing home. The adult daycare centers are more for like the Muskie Center that's done in a community, like a church center or whatnot. So that's kind of a social base. And the adult day healthcare is more on the healthcare model.
So the adult day healthcare, how does that work? Do people come into CNAs or care attendants come into the veteran's home?
They go to a center. So there are so many centers within the state of Maine. There's 13 of them that are licensed with Maine. VA contracts with 11 of them. So we, you know, the state itself is huge. So there's not very many. It's a dying program in the state, and COVID didn't help it out too much. So,
oh, that's a shame. So yes. What happens? I understand that the community adult day programs are socially based, and it's companionship and peer support. Talk to me about the health part. If it's community based, how do veterans qualify for that? What do they need? And are they actually getting health care there?
They get some kind of health care there. So basically what they will do is actually get a bath, or they might help them with a little bit of music therapy or physical therapy on some of those, if that's what they have, because they're associated with a nursing home. Like Gardner Alzheimer's is one of our contracted agencies, and they will do some therapies with them in there as well. They don't do extensive because this is outpatient. They come to their centers. So it's a little bit more in depth. They have an RN that's there that oversees and helps them with some of the care that's being provided. It gives the break to the caregivers. It gives that veteran the chance to socialize with other veterans that may be there, with other peers that are there. They focus on memory care as well. So they will do some things along with that memory. So they're more adapt to understanding the veterans that are at the adult daycare health centers because of the fact that they have that training to deal with some of that. And our social models, the centers themselves do have some. They love the people, and they do have some of that as well. It's just they don't have like being able to bathe them.
So it's not medical. It's more just they're playing cards, they're socializing, talking about the old days. You know, veterans, there's a special camaraderie around veterans, regardless of when they served or what branch of the armed forces they were in. You see it when veterans get together. There's a brotherhood that's absolutely very moving, and they become fast friends just based on the fact they're both veterans. You said that this was a dying program, which is heartbreaking. Is the VA able to do anything to circumvent this dying program? Do you have other programs in place? How are you addressing that? Because the need is so great.
The need is great. And unfortunately, we don't have anything to really, what we do is can support them that are there and try to send the veterans to them. But as you know, the state of Maine is so huge that we only have one facility in the northern part of Maine that does the adult daycare centers. So everything else is in the southern part of the Maine, but we're still, you know, these veterans are not going to want to travel a half hour one way to go to an adult daycare center. So it's just not, we've never had a big community in Maine for this. And then when COVID hit, some of our centers struggled to stay afloat and stay open when they had to quarantine and go home. And so it's just, and then when they would bring veterans in and they'd have outbreaks, they'd have to send them back home. And it's not just veterans, they're open to other people in the community as well that are not veterans. But these centers are just struggling to keep afloat and keep open. So veterans, but if the veterans in that community are not needing to go, it makes it that much harder for them to stay afloat.
Is it a funding issue, a staffing issue? What is the core problem with these being so scarce and in trouble?
That I don't know. It's just, it could very well be for the centers themselves as to who wants to start it and who wants to bring an agency on board. We just never had a whole slew of people within the state of Maine that started or has an adult daycare center.
Adult daycare programs are scarce across the state anyway, veterans are not, and they're so critical. Talk to me about the impact that these centers have on caregivers and any advice you would have for caregivers who now are not able to access something like this.
Oh, these centers are a lifesaver for some of these caregivers. These caregivers that take care of these loved ones 24/7, just to be able to send them to one of these centers for 4 hours or 6 hours so they can just either take a nap with that they don't have to worry about making sure they're not going outside. They don't have to worry about their turning the stove on or getting hurt. You know, it's uninterrupted sleep that will help them. It's able to get them out to do shopping that they don't have to worry about their loved ones to come with them that are getting in not really in trouble. They're just getting anxious because they're not at home where they're comfortable. So they're just really anxious about that thing for them. And these to go out and get their hair done, to go out and get their nails done, just to relax and have time for themselves because their loved ones with them 24/7.
And that can be, it's a labor of love. It can also be extremely draining and exhausting. What's the PACT program, PACT? What does that stand for? And what is that?
It's patient-aligned care teams, and these PAC teams are associated with their VA providers. They have a social worker, nurse. They have pharmacists that are all involved. So it's a little team of people for that veteran and that care.
How if someone's listening and they're a veteran, but they really don't know, they haven't accessed any of the programs, they're not really sure how to start or know what the VA can offer them. Can you give an overview of that?
Yes. So, you know, Maine has 1.3 million people for population, and the number of veterans in Maine is 101. And out of the 101, we only have 57 that are enrolled in the system. So for them to get enrolled in the system, they would just come to the facility. There's an application that they fill out with the benefits. They come right, or they can call the facility itself, and some of these forms can be sent to them. They get enrolled, then they'll get assigned to a PAC team, a provider, and then these benefits and everything that they would receive, the social workers teams, they can actually let them know what kind of benefits and services that they would be able to get through the PAC teams and the VA health system.
Does the veteran need to have any qualifying conditions in order to access any VA services? Do they need to have PTSD or a physical ailment or something, or can they just be a veteran, be healthy, but they just want to know what's available? And you have services for those who are maybe don't need much.
We do, but I don't really know the whole details about all of that, and that's not really my expertise. So the social workers would be a great team to talk to about that.
So the best thing to do would be for someone who's interested in this is just to log on to va.gov/geriatrics.
They can, absolutely.
And they would get all this information. We are going to take a break. And when we get back, we are going to talk about veteran-directed care. Now, we talked about this a little while ago. You may remember if you heard the show with Melissa from Eastern Area Agency on Aging. And now we're going to hear from the Veterans Administration on their side of things and how a veteran can get involved in that. And we will also talk about other things that are available for veterans. So stay with us. We will be right back right after this. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk and Paulette Ferland from the Veterans Administration. So when we left, we were talking about the adult day healthcare and adult daycare centers where veterans can go. One is health-based, so they might get a bath, they'll probably get a meal and help with activities of daily living. And the other one is purely social. Not a lot of them in the state. I don't know who we have to lobby to get more going, but they certainly are a huge benefit to the men and women who have served us so well. There is a number to call, 623-8411, 623-8411, and that will connect you to the VA and you can ask all the questions that you have. Veteran directed care. So we talked about this, a while ago with Eastern, and they are all the area agencies on aging, I think, are involved in this to some degree. But talk to me, Paulette, about what veteran-directed care is from the VA standpoint. And if someone's listening and they're interested in this, walk me through the process. What is it that they have to do?
So with the veteran-directed care and some of our other services, any veteran that is, it's a standard medical benefits package to all enrolled veterans in the healthcare system. So as long as they meet a clinical need in the targeted population and the service is available in their community, then they could benefit from veteran directed care or the community adult day healthcare. These services are there for them. So they would start with their PAC teams. They would talk with their providers and let them know, hey, I have this need. Is there any services and programs out there that are available to me that would help me to be able to stay at home, to be able to age at home, to get the services that I need? So one of the other things that they could do is, like, for veteran directed, it's, you know, I know Melissa, Area Agency on Aging, talked about it with you. The veterans direct their own care. And that's an awesome thing for these veterans when they're at home. They get the more voice. They get to say, hey, I want to hire you. Are you willing to come in and provide services for me? Then they manage it. They actually train these direct hired caregivers that they hire and say, hey, this is how I like to take my bath. This is how I like to have my foods prepared. This is how I like to have some exercise, physical therapy that they, you know, cream lotion put onto them to be able to maintain and stay at home.
You said a couple of times veterans who are enrolled. Does anyone ever say to you, well, I was in the military, I should automatically be enrolled? Because I know that some seniors think they are automatically, they turn 65, they automatically get Medicare. And that's not true. You have to enroll in these programs. The government doesn't just automatically enroll you because you turn a certain age. So are you finding that veterans think that they're enrolled in the VA, but they're not?
We've actually had a few that felt like they were enrolled, and more towards the family members that, hey, he's a veteran and he's in the system. And so they think that he's in the system, in the healthcare system. That is correct. And a lot of them find out afterwards that they're not, but it's quick that we can get them connected with one of our social workers to get them enrolled in our healthcare system.
And all they really do is need to call 623-8411 or log on the website and just get enrolled in the VA. And then you don't have to take part in any of the programs. Just get in there, get in the system in case you need it.
That is correct.
So with the veteran directed care, there are a lot of things that the veteran does. He or she is driving the bus. Part of that just makes me a little nervous, because who do they hire? How do they know that person's going to be good if it's not a family member? How is that person paid? And what's the recourse that a veteran can have if they end up being unhappy with that care, or if things just go sideways? I know it's a lot of questions.
So with the veteran directed care itself is the veteran, it becomes like a business to them. They actually get an employer identification number. If the veteran themselves feels that this is like too much work for them, they could, or they just really want somebody to assist them, they can appoint a representative. And that representative, what they would do is recruit, interview, select the staff that they want to provide direct hired care. If they don't like the personal care attendants that come in that they hire, say a couple of weeks, something happens and they just don't really connect with them, they're the employer. They can actually find somebody else to come in and say, I don't need you anymore. You are now discharged. So it's the veteran that then comes up with the plan. What is it that I need at home to be able to stay at home? I need to have a shower 3 days a week. I need to be able to have somebody come in at this time and help me get up in the morning so I can get moving. It takes me a long time. They make those plans and then they come up with a budget. And from that, they utilize that whole budget that they receive for the month. And the veterans or the employees that they hire, we hire with we contract with our direct hired caregivers through area agencies on aging. There are community providers. They hire or they work with a fiscal management service. And that fiscal management service will then turn around and cut these direct hires a check. So these direct hires actually have an application. They complete, it's just like going out and finding a job. So they fill out the application, they turn it into the fiscal management service. The fiscal management service will then ask, well, how many hours did they work this week? And then when they receive that from the veteran, then they'll turn around and cut a check and send it right off to the direct hires that they hire.
What's the criteria for a veteran to take part in this program?
So basically they're one of the enrolled veteran, and then they'd have to be at least what we call service connected. So they have to be accumulation of 70% service connected.
What does that mean?
That means the veterans that have a service connected, that means while they were in the service, they were diagnosed with something. They had an injury. They had, you know, PTSD. They were diagnosed with COPD. So they get a service connection, a point so much for that. And that's all through the benefits department. Mm-hmm. So once they have that, then they would have ADL needs. And the ADL needs are bathing, dressing, grooming, bed mobility, walking, toileting, transferring, and eating. If they have any of those ADL need dependencies, they need somebody to help them with those, then they could talk to their PAC team provider and ask them, hey, I'm interested in this program. Do I qualify for this program?
We're going to take a short break. When we get back, we will talk more about this and how a veteran may actually find these people, hire these people, talk to them, do interviewing, especially if they've never done that before. Stay with us. There's much more to come. Hi, we're back with Senior Talk discussing veteran-directed care with Paulette Ferland. So when it feels like, and I know this is a successful program, but it feels to me like it's a lot for a veteran to actually look for someone, hire someone. How do you know that this person is going to be the person that helps you? Is it usually in the program, from your experience, family members, friends, neighbors that take on this role as opposed to putting an ad in the paper and finding a stranger?
That is correct. It's family members, friends, neighbors that have that vested interest in keeping that veteran at home and to age in place. So they have that desire to keep them there for as long as possible and for the veteran to stay there where they're comfortable. We do have some that have actually reached out and did some direct hires, and that's where the contracted agencies that we work with, which is Area Agencies on Aging, that they will help them. They actually will sit down with them and come up with a budget plan. They will actually have a little participant's handbook to give them ideas on what questions to ask. They're the ones that have the applications process for these people that they hire, even their loved ones when they hire. And of course, background checks get done on everybody that they hire.
Even the friends and neighbors and family?
The only ones that wouldn't would be the spouses, but everybody else, yes.
So they set a budget, and then is that a set amount based on the eligibility, or is it really case by case and depending on the needs the person has? And what's the average hours that a person gets? I know it's different for everyone, probably based on need, but how much time can someone get?
It is based off of the veteran's needs and which county that they're in and everything, but depending on their budget and their needs is, and how many direct hires that they hire as to how many hours that they would get within that budget. So they take that budget, divide it by how many people that they have hired, and come up, and ideally they would figure out, okay, I need somebody to come in, or I need two people to come in to provide 10 hours of care each week. So that'd be about 40 hours a month. So then they would take that and utilize that and divide it in their budget.
So you could hire more than one person.
You can. And it's an idea that you, ideal that you would, in case that one direct care provider is actually sick or they go out on vacation, then you have somebody else as a backup or somebody else that can step in and provide more hours to help out with that.
Well, especially too, if someone has trouble getting up in the morning and having trouble getting ready for bed and into bed, you could have those two people that, because that would be a long day for one person to come back and forth.
That's right. And being back and forth like that, you don't want them, you may not need them there for a whole 8 hours. You may only need them for 3 or 4 hours in the morning and a couple of hours at night to, just to help you get into bed. So it's really up to the veteran as to what they need. And it also depends on whether or not the veteran has somebody at home with them.
Is there someone who's not eligible for this? Someone who may be cognitively impaired to the point that they need more than this? How do you make that determination?
And that it comes, that determination is made between their PAC teams and their family members and themselves. So it's, if the family is there and involved and it helps, the veterans can stay right at home. But if it comes to the point, okay, it's 24/7, it's difficult, then there's discussions that can be had. It's what the veteran and the families decide that they want to do.
So it's all very veteran focused in what they need. That's just wonderful. Paulette Froland, thank you so much for being here today. You've given a wealth of information for veterans. The number is 623-8411. 623-8411. And the website, if you just want more information, is va.gov/geriatrics, va.gov/geriatrics. Thanks so much for being here. That's it for me. This is Senior Talk. Thank you for listening.